and made me think as they were singing. I couldn't help but think of, you know, I used to say, and you might have said it yourself sometime, it takes nothing to go to hell. And that's really not the truth, because the Lord giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth. It really takes a man a lot to not accept Christ, and it's just amazing. So appreciate that good song. All right, Proverbs chapter 24 this evening. Again, we're just working our way through. We're not too far from the end. We might get through with this chapter tonight. We might not. We shall see. Proverbs chapter 24, just verse by verse. We left off last week with verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 24. Let's pray. Father, we sure thank you again for the opportunity just to be in this place. And God, I do thank you, Lord, for the precious book. God, help us to eat it. Help us to want to desire to hear it. Not what man thinks, not what some person might say, but what saith the Scriptures, God. And I do pray, Lord, that you put such a love, such a desire in our hearts, God. We sure need to get back to the Bible. God, I do pray, God, Lord, that you do some rooting around tonight, God, Lord. And God, there's some things that need to be taken care of. And Lord, I just ask you to do it. And God, we're just praying you will, Lord. And God, just have your will and way. God, do pray for all these needs that's been mentioned tonight. Just pray, God, your hand upon those. And we'll praise you for all you do for us. In the precious and holy name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, verse number 24, or chapter 24, verse number 10 is where we left off. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And we spent just a little bit of time on that because we compared that back to verse number 5, where it says, a wise man is strong. And again, it's just that need of building ourselves up. You know, you can do everything you want to physically. You can take care of your body, and you should. You can exercise, eat right, and do all those things. But I can promise you, one of these days you're going to die. You can try to do everything you can to this old body, and it's just going to fail you. So on the spiritual side of things, if we're going to take care of this body, again, we should. We ought to take care of our spiritual needs even more. And again, verse 5 said, a wise man is strong, and we get wisdom from what we're studying, the Word of God. And then it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So again, that thought of, you know, are you taking the Bible at what it says? But then there's also two other parts on that verse I believe that's important to look at. The first one is there, if thou faint in the day of adversity. And the first thought is, there's going to be days of adversity. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that, you know, man born of woman, the days are full of trouble. It says that they fly up like the sparks. And so you need to realize tonight, and go ahead and mark it down in your life, you're going to have problems. You're going to be hit with things. There's things going to knock you off your pedestal. There's things, you know, to the best of it. We're going to see that here in just a little bit also. But you need to realize tonight there's going to be adversity. But then also the Bible talks about fainting. You know, there are people that faint. There's people that, you know, that struggle. There's people that go through hard times, and even the best of us sometimes will faint. So again, we need to understand that we're in this thing. This isn't a sprint, you know, in a race. We're in this thing. It's a marathon. We got to continually run this race every day. That's the reason the Bible tells us that every day we need to put on the whole armor of God. And that's one of the things I think that's killing us in our day is people don't take that serious. There is an enemy. The old devil, and I don't like to give the devil any credit, but this old flesh, I'm telling you, there's a battle going on. So we need to be busy, you know, taking care of these things. But again, you know, it's easy, as I said before, and I said it this morning, and I spoke it even to the brother this morning about his little one and what they're facing. It's easy to shout and have the victory when we're on the mountain. But what are you going to be when you're in the valley? I've always said it shows forth what we really are is when you're squeezed. What comes out of you when this world squeezes upon you? And there's a verse over in Jeremiah I'd like to share with you. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5 says this. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? You see the question? He says, if you've run, and you've run with a footman, and you've got weary, how are you going to run with a horse? So you need to realize how frail and how easy it is to that place of coming to that part of fainting. And then it says in that same verse, if in the land peace wherein thou troddest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? That's the question tonight. Again, it's easy to come to church and while you're sitting in this environment think, wow, look at God, boy, he's great, hallelujah, amen, let's shout. But when you're in the swelling Jordan, when you're out into the workplace and you're at the store or wherever you're at, you know, and something comes against you, how do you respond? And I still love what Brother Roloff said. He says, you know, I can't control how people, react, but I can control how I respond or something of that nature. I think I got it backwards. Do what? Yeah, how they act and how we react. So again, you know, you can't control your environment, but you control how you do. So that's what that verse is pretty much saying this evening. Again, there's going to be those days of adversity. There's going to be those times that you're overwhelmed. But what are you going to do? And again, you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to act. That's the reason you've got to fill yourself with the Word of God. You've got to constantly feed upon the Word of God. So again, just realize there is a battle this evening. Verse number 11 this evening. A page turn. Verse number 11 tells us, he says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and thou that they are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Now we know this evening we're not saved by works. We know we're not kept by works. But when we get saved, we show forth our faith. We show forth our love, how we work in our body. And what these verses are saying this evening is when you see somebody, when we see a need or we see something that needs to be done and we don't respond. You know, it's amazing how people just have no concern for anybody else, it seems like, but themselves. I got to thinking as I was studying back through these verses, I don't remember when it's been, probably a year or so ago. I don't remember what city it was in, maybe New York, somewhere like that. They actually showed a person that had been hit by a car or something laying in the street. And nobody would come help him. I thought that's sad that we'd have that kind of mentality that we wouldn't want to go to help somebody. And here, again, you know, we should do the right thing. You know, well, they made me mad. Well, that doesn't change the fact that God has done us good. And the Bible even says here that when we see those things, God's taking note of them. Did you see that? Look there in verse number 12. It says, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Well, we didn't know he had a problem. We didn't know he needed us to pray for him. We didn't know he had this. Or God says, he says, if you say you knew it not, he says, he that pondereth the heart, consider it. And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And notice also, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? God's keeping record. You might get to heaven and say, well, God, I didn't know. And God says, oh, yeah, you did know. So you're not going to have, oh, man, you have no excuse, the Word of God tells us. So again, as we see things, as we're faced with things, we've got to respond in the right way. What do we do? How do we do? But again, that takes preparation. My wife's sister's boy, he's in boot camp right now as we speak. They're training him. He's in the Army now and he's going through all these things and they're training him. Why? Not so he can sit around and play ball. No, they're training him to fight. They're training him for something that could happen. And we this evening, we need to realize that every moment of our day is an opportunity to be the light to this world or the salt to this world. So, again, God is watching. Verse 13. The Bible says, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good. Everybody say amen right there. Nothing better than honey, amen. Good honey, a little butter, and a good old hot biscuit. You just don't get much better than that. So that's what the Bible says. Says, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to the taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. I wonder tonight, can you say that? You know, some people read their Bible because they feel like they have to. Sometimes they read their Bible just so they can say they read it. But I want to ask you, when's the last time you sat down with the Word of God and it was just like getting a good old hot biscuit? My grandpa, that boy, he could eat. He could. My grandma made homemade biscuits, and he'd either have honey or molasses. And I guarantee you he could eat the whole pan of biscuits by himself. He loved them, man. He had a sweet tooth. He'd eat dessert before he'd eat anything else. But why don't we crave the Word of God that way? Why do we sit down and you know, people say, well, I try to read my Bible and I go to sleep. Why? You don't go to sleep at the table when you're feeding the flesh, do you? God says that the Word, this wisdom that He's getting, you know, you might be this way. I hope not. There's certain things that people do that really, really bother me. You ever been talking to somebody and they look away, they ignore you while you're talking? That just burns me up. It's like, I'm talking to you. You know, when I was raised, and when somebody's talking to you, you look them eyeball to eyeball and pay attention. But there's people I've talked to before that I'll be talking to, just squirrel, whatever, you know. But I wonder if God looks at us that way. He says, I'm talking to you. Don't you want to hear from me? And I believe it'd be all of us. And there's none of us here that's arrived. None of us can say, look at me. I'm just saying we all need that encouragement. It's so easy to, is it right to have a habit of reading your Bible? Sure it is, but it ought to be more than a habit. Well, maybe that's not a bad thing. I was thinking about, you take some of these drug addicts, man, look what they'll do to get another hit. They'll rob, steal, and kill just to get a little bit more drugs, wouldn't they? And we could take or leave the Bible most of the time. I'm talking to us. So again, the Bible says here, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall thy knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Don't you ever like just running? You just found something in the Bible and just wanted to show somebody? Found these little nuggets, found this little thing that God showed you. It might mean nothing to them, but it meant something to you. And that's what he's saying there about the Word of God. You found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. God rewards. It pays to read the Bible. It pays to live the Bible. So there you go. We ought to eat it up. Verse 15. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. And I hope that's none of us tonight. I hope we're not the wicked looking to do something over on somebody that's trying to do right. Verse 16 says, and this is, we'll spend just a little bit more time here. And again, I mentioned this morning how God puts things together. Verse 16, look at it. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall unto mischief. You know, a lot of times we think when people fall, it's because they're not saved or this or that or wicked man or whatever. God says this was a just man. God says here a just man will fall seven times. Number seven, that thought of completeness. Throughout our life, until this thing's over, we're going to have that tendency. We're going to have that ability to fall. Now, we shouldn't want to fall. It shouldn't be our desire to fall. It shouldn't be our want to fall. But God tells us here a just man, not a wicked man, not an ungodly man, a justified man, a man that has been justified through God, God says he'll fall. And we need to realize that, not just as we look maybe at other people, but look at ourselves tonight. God says that every one of us can and probably will fall from time to time. But it's not so much about the falling that I believe that God wants to get our attention to. The fact is that we do fall. The question, or what we ought to get out of this verse tonight, is what you do when you fall. Notice what he says there, for a just man falleth seven times. But then it says, and riseth up again. I've seen so many people fall. I've seen so many people get messed up in their lives and do things that hurt, and they stay down. It's amazing to me, and I don't know why we do it. Again, I mentioned it the other day. You know, it amazes me how we as so-called Christians treat people in such a way. We like to kick them when they're down. It shouldn't be that way. God's not that way. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God don't treat you the way that we treat other people? And God says a man falls, but he rises again. We ought to encourage one another when somebody does fall. again, I'm not making an excuse for sin, and it amazes me, and the problem that people never come to, you'll never get back up until you do something about the sin. You can't pretend it didn't happen. You can't pretend it's not there. You can't, and you surely can't just live in it. But you've got to be willing to say, hey, I messed up. Hey, I'm wrong. Repentance. Come to the Lord. Ask forgiveness. God said if you ask forgiveness, He will forgive. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgive us our sins. So tonight, again, we need to understand that people fall. God says we can fall 7 times a just man falls. And he rises up again. I hope and pray that we'll run this race. I hope and pray that when it's all said and done, that we didn't sit down on the side of the road and quit. So tonight, let's help one another as we do fall. Help somebody else to get back up and get back into the race and encourage them to get right with God and live for God. I'm not God. You're not God. But a man can fall and a man can get back up. And God says that's the way he desires it. And then notice also, but the wicked man, he says, a just man falls and gets back up. But what does a wicked man do? Look at it, verse 16, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The wicked stays in that fallen state. The wicked never gets back up. The wicked continually goes down, down, down until they die and they meet God and they're judged. And in hell, they'll lift up their eyes. So again, there's that thought of our look at life. And again, we're not any better than anybody else. I'm just saved by the grace of God. What the wicked man can do, I can do. You know, I still remember Brother Sam Valini preaching that message years ago. He said, the same hand I pick up this Bible with is the same hand that I can pick a beer up with. Yep. Oh, I'll never do that. You might not do that, but you might do something else. Again, we need to realize that God tells us that a just man will fall 7 times, but we must get back up and go back at it and do something for God. And again, it's easy to say. It's easy to say we'll never do that, but it happens. Micah chapter 7, verse 8 says this, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Even when we fall, we need to realize that God still got you. We need to realize that God can still help us. So what a great truth tonight. Verse 17 this evening. Another one of these verses, how I wish we could get this. I just mentioned it in what I said in verse 16, but look at it. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. You'd be amazed, the preachers that I listen to sometimes, and I hear them talk about another preacher that falls, like they were glad he fell. I'm the opposite, I hope. It breaks my heart. Well, that preacher, he wasn't right anyway, but he was still trying to preach the gospel the best he probably thought he could. And when he falls, it's not a woo-hoo, look at that. No, it's a hurt because the world sees there's another man that falls. Again, I make that statement. I don't know of any other people like us that are so tended to knock a brother down when he's down. Shouldn't be that way. And that's what God says here. He says, again, rejoice not when thine enemy, but he's my enemy. Look at what Christ did for us. We were the enemy of God, but he went to the cross and died for us anyway. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Verse 18. Lest the Lord see it. This runs right with verse 17. Lest the Lord see it. Again, God knows. Well, I didn't say it. God knows what you think. God knows what your thought process is. God knows what you're thinking inside of you. You might not say it with your lips, but God knows how you think of it. Look what he says. Lest the Lord see it. And it displease him. You know, God says it displeases him when we act that way. And then he says, and he turn away his wrath from him. God was going to deal with him until you acted that way. And then God's going to deal with you because what you did was worse than what he did. It's truth. Yes, sir. God says, I'll turn my wrath away from that man that's stumbled and fall because of what you've done. It's It's amazing what God sees, isn't it? Verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Fret not thyself because of evil men. You know, there's a lot of times we get fretful. There's a lot of times things happen and we don't know what we're going to do. Again, tonight, church, we need to realize greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We are on the winning side. It'd be good if the church would get back up to that place and quit cowering. The men mentioned in the prayer room about one of the so-called Democratic people running, how he's made the statement that if he becomes president, if anybody speaks against homosexuality, how he'll go after them, and how churches, if they speak against homosexuality, they'll take away our tax break thing. I thought, I'm not going to stop preaching what God says. I can't do that. You'd be amazed, though. There's probably some people here. Well, if they don't let me count it on my taxes, I ain't giving. Then you ain't giving right anyway. Hello? I don't give so I can write it off on my taxes. I don't give because I have to. I give because I want to be a cheerful giver, because God's given to me. And so, again, fret not. So what are we going to do? Preach, this world's getting, don't fret. This thing's running just like God said it was going to run. I don't want to get accustomed to it. I don't like things how they happen. But I'm not going to sit here and chew my fingernails and say, oh no, what are we going to do? God's not in heaven that way. God's on the throne. Fret not thyself because of evil men. And then look, neither be thou envious at the wicked. You know, tonight we look at the world and it's amazing, especially our young folks and maybe some of the older folks, I don't know. It's amazing how we set people up on an idol. We look at a sports figure and say, wow, look at him. And boy, I wish I had what they had. And I wish, I like the song that we sing, Give Me Jesus. Hey, that's what I need this evening. We shouldn't be envious of this world. Why? Because he answers it. Look at it. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. These people that people envy, us so-called Christians, if we envy, oh, look at what he's got, man, I wish I had that. Boy, I wish I had a bigger car, bigger house, this, that, whatever it is. God says, don't be envious of that. Why? Because their candle's going to be put out one day. They're going to be in hell wanting a drip of water. And we're going to be in heaven with a river of life flowing. So don't be envious of this world. Listen, I know it's not easy. I know it don't make sense sometimes in our mind thinking. But listen, this is the worst we're ever going to be in for a child of God. But to this world, this is the best they're ever going to have. When they die without Christ, and I don't boast in that, it breaks my heart. I hope it breaks your heart. But when they die without God, they're going to go to a place called hell. They're going to be eternally separated from God. They're going to be in that awful place. Why would we be envious of that? We got much more. Look at what we got in Jesus. Amen. And the Lord tells us here not to be envious of that. Verse 21 this evening, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. I wish the churches around the world would get a hold of that. My, how we have changed. God says we need to fear Him. We need to stick with the old path, the Bible says. This King James Bible is still right today. It'll be right tomorrow. And we don't need to meddle with those that change. People today is always looking for something new. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this. Got to do that. No, God says don't meddle in that. It says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King. Tonight, if you fear God, you won't change. You won't meddle with that mess. Verse 22. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? Who? Those that change. There's only one way, and it's a right way, and it's a narrow way. And you're not going to change that. And when it all boils out, right's still right and wrong's still wrong. And that's how God's going to look at it. Verse 23 this evening. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Again, a great lesson that we ought to learn. It's so easy to have respect to somebody that we think that's closer to us than he that's an old dirt ball drunk over in the ditch somewhere. God says we need to look at everybody the same. That's how he sees it. God doesn't have favorites. We're all the same. But we're not that way. We tend to, you know, in the best we can. I guarantee you, I'll probably treat my family better than I treat your family. Why? Because that's what I'm made out of. Don't make it right. And God tells us here that we need to treat every man the same. Verse 23 again, these things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Verse 24, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon us. You know, the easiest, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, pastoring or preaching the gospel would be easy if I didn't care. It really would. But I do care. I hope I continue to care. And what the Lord is showing here in these verses, it's right to stand up for what's wrong. Now the world ain't going to like it. The lost man ain't going to like it. But it's still right. And tonight, friend, it's not easy. It's not easy to when everybody else is going that way, it's not easy to step out and say, I'm not going that way. But it's still right. God will reward also there. Verse 26 is one of those verses I ain't got much to say because I ain't got a whole lot to get out of it. But every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right way answer. It's always good to give right answers. All I can get you out of that. I want to give right answers, but that's about all I can get you out of that verse. Still praying on that one. Verse 27. Here comes a bad one for our day. Verse 27 says, get a job. So it says, no, I don't. It says, prepare thy work without and make it in for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. I don't know. I didn't go and look. But the majority of our world today is living in high debt. People are living way beyond their means. One of the greatest things, I still remember, I use it today when I do marriage counseling before I marry somebody. I remember what Brother Conley Matlock told me and my wife sitting in his office at Fernhill Baptist Church. He told us, he says, one of the greatest mistakes young people do when they get married is they want everything that mom and daddy has got, and mom and daddy's been at this thing for 40 years. But you look at people today, how they get 10 credit cards and max every one of them out. They want all that stuff. God says, go get a job, work, save, and then build the house. So, great advice. Not many people listen to it, but great advice. Let's look at these last two, and then we'll close out for tonight. Verse 28 and 29. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his works. You shouldn't do that. You know, we ought to do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. But again, this flesh, that's all flesh speaking. Again, he says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause. You'd be amazed at the bickerings and things that go on without a cause. You'd be amazed that people fight over things and you ask them what they're fighting on. They've been fighting so long they don't even know what they're fighting about. They just enjoy fighting, I think. And deceive not with thy lips. This has nothing to do with the word of God, but it is where we're at today. Some of you probably have heard of it. Anybody heard of the red flag law? I can get mad at Brother Terry back there, call the law and tell, hey, Brother Terry's got a gun. I feel threatened by him. Red flag law says the law has no, don't have to ask any questions. They'll go and confiscate every one of his weapons. He didn't even commit a crime. Just because I spoke falsely with my lips, that can happen. That's in our day. But here it says, be not a witness against thy neighbor without a cause. You know, we ought to want to try to get along, shouldn't we? It's not very Christian-like to quarrel with people. And deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. He did me wrong, so I'm going to get him. Does that sound right? Sure it don't. I will render to the man according to his works. Again, how do you respond? How do you react? Again, I believe several things tonight through these verses we can see. Again, we need to take a good look at who we are and not forget who we are. The person that we're dealing with, they're no different than we are. They're made out of the same thing. I made mention to the family down there today, and it's so easy because it's they're under high stress. And I don't say this to hurt them by no means. I'd say it to all of us because I've been there myself. When things aren't going well, it's easy to get mad and fuss, especially at the people that we love. We need to think about things before we open this trap. I think about things and pray before we do something we wish we hadn't have done. Because it's just like toothpaste. Once it comes out of the tube, it's hard to get that sucker back in there. Great wisdom. Great wisdom. Not from the preacher, but from the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight.